Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about your empowerment with knowledge so you can keep more of what you have. Our websites are Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com. So, parents, we as parents somehow often have amnesia about what we were like as kids. And we develop this thing where we have these rose-colored glasses about what our kids are up to. And so we convince ourselves that that may be other kids doing this, that, or the other, but certainly not my kid. Well, there's a new study that was published in Pediatrics about what kids are actually doing starting at about 12 years old versus what we as parents think our kids are doing. So when parents are asked if their kids smoke cigarettes or vape or anything like that, parents are like, no, my kid doesn't do that. What are you thinking? That's not happening. Well, the researchers at UCSF, University of California, San Francisco, found that parents just did not seem to be aware at all what their kids were doing. A four-year period, most kids, when they researched 4 years, kids 12 to 17, overwhelming majority were either vaping or smoking cigarettes. And parents, on the other hand, seemed to have no idea what their kids were up to. And your kid is not necessarily a bad kid, because at 12 or 13 years old, he or she tried vaping or smoking a cigarette, but it's very dangerous for them. And so that's why what you don't know can hurt them. And so you don't say, hey, are you doing this? It's really good to have ongoing conversations about smoking, chewing tobacco, which some kids do, the vaping, which lots of kids do, so that you are able to have that ongoing conversation before a kid might get addicted. You know, something most people don't know, that I started smoking as a kid in middle school. And smoking was very common. I mean, at school, if you had a note from your parents, you could smoke at school when I was a kid. That would never happen today. And people were much more aware their kids did. But I got hooked. It was really hard to quit, and I quit in my early 20s. I can tell you this, better to never start. So keep talking about this stuff with your kids. Greg is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Clark. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you.
So we decided we wanted to cut our spending by 10%. And what I'm looking for is some sort of app that makes that kind of easy. I tracked last year in a spreadsheet, and that was very tedious and difficult. So I want to see, is there a way, is there an app out there that works pretty well to track spending, do the comparison? And the second part of the question is it really safe to give these apps all your account data and everything they ask for?
That is a great question, and I always answer that timidly because the sites that track your spending work so hard with encryption and to protect themselves from hackers, but there's always the outside risk. But life is not without risk. I want to give you a couple of options. Mint is free, and I'd like for you to start with Mint. And okay, if you can make Mint work for you, then you're not paying for it. But if you find that Mint doesn't get the job done, there's one that people pay for that people really, really seem to like. And it costs roughly $80 a year for youneedabudget.com.
Youneedabudget.com, okay.
Yeah, and the app, they abbreviate it as YNAB. But you go to the website, youneedabudget.com, and you'll see how they structure it to try to get your regular spending, your monthly spending, and your daily spending under tight control. And so it has to be something that people have found effective, because otherwise, why would people pay $80+ a year for the app and tools that youneedabudget.com offers? But I have one other strategy that throws all that stuff out the window.
Okay.
And that is save up front 10% of what you make. Just have it come straight out of your check before you get it. Retirement plan at work, direct deposit into a savings account with an online bank or a credit union, where you just pull the 10 cents of every dollar out of your life. And then you force yourself to live within the limits of the other 90 cents of each dollar you make is another approach, and it's one that I find works for a lot of people. Pam is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Pam. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Great, thank you. Pam, you want to throw me into something that's been a debate for as far back as I can remember on what saves money trying to stay warm through the cold weather season.
Correct.
Hit me with it.
I have a two-story house, 2,000 square feet. I don't use all of it. I don't want to run my electric heat all the time. I use space heaters in individual rooms when I'm in those rooms. And someone said to me, well, those space heaters use more electricity than your electric heat does.
So the answer is both, but you actually save a lot of money if you do what has been done in Europe for as long as I can remember, where you zone heat your home. So if you have a home that you've got a lot of rooms that really you don't use much at all, using a space heater will likely save you money. And I know everybody in the HVAC business is like, Clark, you just don't get it. But actually, what you're thinking of doing will potentially save you money. And, in Europe, where energy costs historically have been much higher than in the United States, the idea of central heating a home is looked at as an extravagant luxury, because of the cost of heating spaces you're not using.
Great. Then I had the right idea to start with.
Well, again, I am not an expert in HVAC, and we will hear almost certainly on Clark Stinks from people who feel like I'm sticking my nose in something that I don't know. But I can tell you the math on it is that what you're considering doing is cheaper, even though the cost of this is where the person who told you it's more expensive. It does use more energy when you're using a space heater to heat that one bit of square footage. But because you're not heating the rest of the square footage, that's why it ends up being on balance a whole lot cheaper to zone heat as you're considering.
Okay.
You feel good about it?
I do. I feel good about it. Thank you very much.
No curtains nearby, anything like that. You know, you got to be careful with space heaters that you don't cause a fire hazard.
Right. And the ones I use are the infrared.
Okay. All right. So be safe and save that money.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Robert is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Clark. How are you today?
Great. Thank you, Robert. I understand you heard our segment about tipping at the end of the year, and you got a kick out of that.
I sure did, because I think maybe you're forgetting one of the most important people in our lives these days.
Tell me.
That's our tenants. I've got a number of units here, and, you know, it's my retirement and my living. And, you know, a good tenant is a happy tenant. So every Christmas I give a tenant a gift certificate to a different local restaurant here.
Okay.
And,
that's beyond brilliant, Robert. That is ingenious.
God, I've been doing it for almost 20 years.
Well, I mean, you are a genius for that because, you know, as a longtime landlord myself, you know, and I know both as landlords that having somebody move out is so expensive. Even if they took good care of the place and all that, that vacancy hurts you, the time involved in getting it rented again, and doing something nice for your tenant, a goodwill gesture like that, that nobody else has ever done for them, that is beyond brilliant.
Well, I got another one for you too, if you're interested.
I am.
Well, when it comes time to raise the rents, I don't tell the tenants how much I'm going to raise the rent. I ask them how much they're comfortable with. And do you know, I would say at least half the time they offer me more than I would have had the guts to ask in the first place. I don't take it. I usually leave it at a reasonable amount. But I work with my tenants. And as time goes on, their income goes up, or maybe it doesn't go up. But they tell me how much they're comfortable with, and 99% of the time I say, that's fine.
Well,
I'm happy with that.
You know, that is a classic business negotiation strategy, that you always want the other person to go first. And it's like if somebody's negotiating for a new job, the employer wants to psych you out by having you disclose what you'd like to work for. And it's the same kind of thing in reverse, that they tend to underestimate their value to the employer, and the employer ends up being able to pay them less than they were intending to. And you're saying the same kind of thing by having the tenants name the figure. You are a smart businessman.
And it's amazing. Landlords that I've spoken to have never thought of that.
Well, you know, one thing that I don't know if you've ever considered too, I give tenants a discount on their rent if they pay me prior to the first day of the month.
Well, I do that a little differently. My rent is due on the 1st and it's late on the 2nd. And
okay.
I make it real clear when they move in, I have only two rules. One is the rent's due on the 1st, not the 2nd. And secondly, it's my house, but it's your home. Do what you want. Just give it back to me the way I gave it to you.
Well, I mean, you are a great landlord. Producer Joel, who has 5 rental properties, was listening all ears on your suggestions. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Steven's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Steven.
Hi, Clark. Thanks for taking the call and for all you and your staff do for so many people.
Certainly, and I'm glad to have your question because you're trying to help your kids.
Yeah, I've got two daughters. They're kind of, I guess, they're not here, so I can say probably in around middle age. So let's just say we're looking at the 40-year age.
Got it.
Here. And anyway, they are both contribute to their employers' 403s and 401ks and that kind of thing. But I'm thinking that they will probably need just a little bit more help when retirement actually comes. So I'm thinking about opening a joint account with each of them in a targeted retirement fund, so I can contribute easily and do so as a match for them contributing.
Okay, you can make this a whole lot easier for you and them.
Okay.
You are allowed to give any other human being, anybody, up to $15,000 each year as a complete non-tax event. No tax for you, no tax for them. It's just a straight gift you're able to do. So each of them are allowed to do $6,000 a year into a Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And you could offer them a match. I call it the daddy match, and I do it with my kids.
That's it.
And so I'm like the employer with the 401k who gives so much money as a match. I do it with my kids that if they do a Roth, that I'll put up a dollar for every dollar they put up. And it's something that I'm excited about because it gets them in the habit of living on less than what they make and saving money. And it means that they will have a much more comfortable retirement because they've been incentivized through the years to put that money aside. And if you do that as an offer to your daughters and they come up with the $3,000 each year and you come up with the other $3,000, the long-term benefit of the money you've given them and the money they contribute is massive down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So you can figure that the money they would put in their 40s will double at least twice. So it'd be four times what it started out with today. If they invest in like a target retirement fund today, by the time they'd be drawing the money, every dollar put in would likely be $4.
Right. And of course that goes in before
after tax.
After tax, so
it's never taxed again.
There's no tax implications there. Yeah,
right.
That's great.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would be a place you could have big impact for them, and has no tax issues for any of you.
That sounds good.
And you know, here's the thing: if one of your daughters says, "Dad, that's really nice, I just can't do it," then you've made the offer. And they miss the opportunity, but who wouldn't want to instantly double their money?
Right, right.
So it's something that I'm so biased on this because it's something I've always done with my kids that I just think it's a great thing if a parent can afford to do it, and you're of a mind to do so, that hopefully they will both grab that opportunity and build that long-term financial security thanks to your challenge and generosity in combination.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive help supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's my pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show, where it's all about you learning ways to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off. Our websites are Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com. So one of the surveys that took place during the election season was one by Harris that got kind of lost with everything being about the horse race for the presidency and other offices. But it was a survey about people's worries about their privacy. And Harris found that a majority of Americans are really freaked out about the federal government or government at any level tracking them through their cell phones or anything else digital in our lives. And the poll also found that a huge percent of Americans, about 80%, thought that the Fed should have to have a warrant, or local government should have to have a warrant, before they're able to look at information about you. The Wall Street Journal found that a bunch of U.S. law enforcement agencies are buying what's known as geolocation data without any court order or anything like that and spying on you and me. And this is absolutely unacceptable that the feds and at different levels of local government, that we are being tracked without any probable cause at all. And this is happening in spite of a Supreme Court decision that if a government agency wanted information from cell phone carriers, they had to have probable cause, get a warrant. But what the agencies are doing at all levels is they're buying from private data brokers who are getting this stuff on us, who knows how. You know, I know we have a very polarized society politically, but there are certain things that there's real national consensus on. And just because the technology exists to be able to spy on us just randomly without any reason to do so, there also should be laws that tightly control when that information is available to government to be able to use against us on just crazy random hunts. I was stunned that in the Harris survey that one in four people say they're doing things differently day to day so they don't establish patterns just because they're worried about government spying on them. Now, this doesn't even address all the private industry spying that's going on us. You know, the technologies that exist have opened up so many possibilities for us. I was at my annual physical with my doctor, and we were talking about this device I have, Cardia Mobile, that lets me do a 6-lead cardiogram on myself in just 30 seconds. And the device is $150, and how that medical data could save my life. It gives me a green or red telling me I have a problem with my heart or I don't. I mean, there's so many really, really great things happening with technology, but then who gets to see that medical data and how could that be used against me? We absolutely need from the Congress for the parties to work together to come up with clear laws to protect our privacy from private organizations and from government. Danielle is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Danielle.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you. Congratulations on your recent wedding.
Thank you.
So how's it going so far?
It's been great so far.
Wonderful.
We are just trying to figure out the money aspect.
Oh, so usually, you know, it's funny, if people go to premarital counseling now, a huge amount of the time, whether it's religious-based premarital counseling or non-religious-based, a huge amount of the time the counselor spends is on the issue of money with couples.
Yeah.
Because it is difficult because, especially now, so often people get married at a later age than people used to. And you've each already had your own lives financially and otherwise. Tell me what kind of choices you're facing.
So we're trying to figure out, we want to join our bank accounts, but like you said, we both have bank accounts and longstanding credit cards with those accounts. And so we're trying to figure out, I've been told if you cancel your longest credit card, it negatively affects your credit.
Yeah, neither of you should cancel your existing credit cards.
Okay.
Yeah, no reason. So, that's what they call in tennis an unforced error, that you'd be harming your credit and your credit score, your credit worthiness for really no reason. So okay. I like for each of you to have your own credit because if you don't, your credit is individual, you know, how you're looked at. And you want to have your own credit history and reputation. How you pay the bills, that's subject to the dynamics of your own marriage. If your bills are paid for all different kinds of bills from a joint account where when your paychecks come in, you put your money in, or if for things like credit cards, things that would be, you know, you want to go buy yourself a new outfit and you're worried what he would say, why would you spend that much on that outfit or vice versa, that by having your own credit cards and then paying your personal kind of stuff on your own out of your own account is how a lot of couples handle it. It all depends on how the two of you feel about your money that you have separately and that you'd have together.
Right. So he's a student right now, and we were planning on joining accounts once his last set of loans hit, which they just did. But we're curious, since he has an account and that's where all of his loans have been going into, and I have my account, does it make sense to close out one bank account and just have one, or should we leave the other one open and just pay off loans with that?
That's a great question. All right. So what I recommend when somebody comes into a marriage and they've got a big pile of loans like his student loans, I'd like for you to have three checking accounts.
Okay.
The two you already have, and then one that you do for household expenses. And in whatever ratio you decide you pool money for household expenses as a renter or a home buyer, things that are joint expenses are paid out of that household account. When the student loans are paid and you've had more time in your marriage, you may choose at that point to can each having your own individual accounts and then just having a joint account. But the reason you never put all your money in a joint account when someone has outstanding loans in a marriage is if anything ever came up, any dispute, anything like that, most often a lot of the student loan lenders, for example, will come in and automatically debit your account. Well, if you only have one account and all your money's gone into it, and there's a dispute with the student loan lender or they make a mistake or whatever, suddenly you could have no money to pay any of your bills.
Okay.
So you want your household account cordoned off separate from an account that's used for these debts from schooling.
Okay, that makes sense.
And as far as credit cards, if the two of you choose at some point that you want to get a joint credit card that you're co-owner of, that's fine too. Like, let's say there's some rewards you're trying to earn or who knows what, and you want to do a joint card, that's fine. Or you can even do one where one of you owns it and the other, you make an authorized user.
So that's what we have right now. So we have each have our own credit cards with those original bank accounts that we had, and they don't have great rewards. And then we have two rewards cards. And I'm I put my number and name down on them and then made him an authorized user. Because one I had before we got married and one I got right after we got married. And I didn't think through we each need our own line of credit. Otherwise, I probably would have had him open that second one.
So does he have, other than the student loans that he's responsible for, which would hopefully give him a decent credit profile, does he have no credit cards in his name?
He has the one with his original bank account.
Okay. I like for people to follow Noah's Ark rule that everybody have two cards as a minimum in their own name. And I'd like him to get one more card once he's done with school and he's working. Or is he already working and in school?
No, he'll start working in the middle of this coming year.
Okay, so when he starts working, he'll be able to show income. I'd like him to apply for another card, never from the same financial institution that his existing card is with. You want your credit cards from two different financial institutions.
Okay. And then is there any downside to those original credit cards that we have that don't have great rewards? Is there any downside to just swiping them like once a month on like a Spotify account or something? Or should
it's
we be
great
using
to do
them?
That. No, you want to use them. Okay. Each card you have, you want to keep active. And usually that'll mean using it twice a year. So if you're doing Spotify 12 times a year on an account, that's fine. Have you combined your Spotify accounts to get a lower price from Spotify?
We have.
Good. Okay.
Awesome.
Think about anything like that you were paying for individually that you could do a better deal together that's still hanging out there that each of you are paying for, unless you've already done all that?
I would have to think through what we might have missed, but that is good advice. We can thumb through the subscriptions.
But as far as combining all available funds, I really like that to be slow walked in a marriage. That it should take a while as each of your spending habits become known to the other and all that. Because if you combine all your money coming in into one account, often there'll be different attitudes about money in a couple, and that can cause real flashpoints and arguments. And that's why that's later in a marriage if people do decide to combine all their money. But again, never while there's outstanding debt obligations of one or the other do you combine. The reality is it's really important for couples not to hide discussions about money. You know, do you know that somewhere, depending on who does the survey, little less or a little more than half of couples admit that they lie to each other about money and hide money from each other and play games with each other about money, and it creates a distance and distrust. So whether I think about with Danielle, you know, we were being so clinical talking about we should put this money here and that money there and have these kind of credit cards and all that. But I really feel like I missed the mark by not addressing how important it is for a couple to be open about money with each other, regardless of how you handle it. And a couple can decide that there's a certain amount of money that is secret, that you don't discuss how you spend or whatever. It's just something that should be a conversation, and it shouldn't be a secret. There's secrets. It should be a conversation that there are areas that are cordoned off. Kimberly's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Clark. Thank you for taking my call. What a pleasure.
Well, it's great to have you here, Kimberly. And you have changed how you do computing, and now it's led to, but what do I do about this now?
Yes.
What have you done?
I've used the same tax program since the late 90s. My taxes are expensive because I have rental properties, and I do them on my own, and I'm proficient at it. But now that I went with the Chromebook, as you had advised, they do not have CD-ROM, the drive for that, and I want to stay with the CD. I don't want to, because I've always printed my taxes out and made a copy for me and sent them in. I'm real uncomfortable just doing my taxes online, which is the only way I could do it with a Chromebook.
Right. So let's take the example. You said you use TurboTax?
Yeah, I do use TurboTax.
So TurboTax, overwhelmingly, people now use the encrypted online version instead of using the software. It's where the market's really moved to. And, you know, I know we always have to fear hackers and we never know where trouble's going to come from. And I can't promise you everything will be perfect, but I really prefer that you just use the online version because their resources now are going very heavily into that. And you're going to find over the next, it's probably already happened, but steadily, that the software written for online will be easier to use than the software in the CDs. And as the IRS says, oops, nope, we want this done this way or that way, the online will have those updates much quicker and much more easily than if you've already bought a disk and you're having to deal with a change. But if you don't feel comfortable using TurboTax online instead of using a disk, you can't get it done with a Chromebook.
No, and I'm also finding that laptops, it's hard to find a drive on laptops now.
Right. And in fact, you know, MacBooks almost never come with any kind of drive. Or if they do, I don't know if they come at all with a drive. And it's just people don't use disks virtually at all anymore, but you should be able to find an entry-level laptop, if you really want to continue to use, you know, disk-based software, you should be able to find a Windows computer new for around $200.
And that's been my problem. They're around $500, $600.
Oh, no. You can do much better than that. Laptops will be at just about their cheapest of the year over the week of Thanksgiving, what's known as Black Friday week. And you just look them up and make sure they do come with a drive that you can pop a disk into.
And you feel eventually, though, the drives are eventually going to go away and I will have to eventually do it.
Well, they have mostly already, and that's where we're headed, because almost everything people do now is web-based software.
Okay.
For example, with Clark.com, we do everything with various web-based software products, and we don't do anything machine-based anymore. The machines are basically almost dumb terminals now to connect all my staff to the various internet functions that we use. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com.